What do you reckon John's going with today? German beer?
Yes. The rhubarb cider.
And welcome back once again to the Unsalted Popcorn Podcast during the Popcorn Directionless Commentary Special. This is a landmark episode. A landmark episode for several reasons, mainly because John has discovered rhubarb cider and it wasn't the meth we all thought he'd be drinking, but also because this is, drum roll please, our 50th Directionless Commentary Special.
Is that including the last one?
The last one didn't happen, or it did happen. We don't know. This is the 50th one that the general public, both of them, have access to. Which I was going to do a quick count, and then me being me, I forgot. But I think that means we've done about 56 Doctor Who episodes and films, and one animated special.
Huzzah.
Plucking figures out the air, but I think we're roughly on about that.
Did we actually record the Christmas special, like the New Year special from this year?
We just did a quick
20-minute review.
Oh, okay. We just watched that one. I couldn't remember if that was actually a recording. So we've actually done 57.
If you want to check. Yes, good point. I had forgotten that. So there's one in the system which isn't actually a directionless commentary. Ooh, does that mean we've got to go one more before we do the whole landmark thing again?
It means the last one was the landmark one. No, does it?
Yeah, you could be right. It's too early. It's too early for maths.
Did you say this is the 50th?
Yeah, shove it. Stick at that. It's the 50th.
We should just randomly say, welcome to the 73rd. And just randomly throw numbers out and always make it sound like it's a celebration.
Every episode is a celebration.
Absolutely.
I think 73 is about all we're doing, isn't it?
Just looking
at how many are left from each series.
I don't think we were planning on doing number 73. I mean, I don't think there's any box sets of that seminal Saturdays TV show.
On YouTube.
Sandy Talks, hang on.
Yep. There's two things that stand out about that show. The only two things I remember ever, and that's still more than I remember of any episode of Multicolor Swap Shop. All About Eve played wild-hearted woman in the basement with the play-out song, and it was through Sandy Toksvig and Number 73 that I learnt that Norway had won the Eurovision Song Contest. Because, and I still remember, I can still do it now, and I'm about to. Because every time someone mentioned it, everyone broke into a quick rendition of "Let It Swing, Let It Rock and Roll." And that's the only thing I remember. That phrase, I have no idea what the song was. I have no idea who played it. I didn't even know what year it was. But that's the bit I remember.
Time for some research.
Oh, shit.
If for no other reason than to aid you.
Or to delay the inevitable. Because you know what's coming this morning. You know what's coming today. As it is our special edition, and as we are facing two of the worst episodes in Doctor Who history ever this week, that no one wants to watch, and yet somehow...
1985.
Shut up. funny enough, I can remember where I was living, and I can remember the TV I watched it on, because it was quite a really old 70s set that my granddad had rebuilt. But I couldn't have told you the year, and I wish I hadn't asked. Actually, I didn't ask.
I was 7 years old.
I wasn't.
What date was it on? It was on 4th of May. I was 3.
You can both fuck off.
Well, Morgan just said I was minus.
Yeah. The answer to that I can't say to a 10-year-old girl, but with bells on, love. No, Morgan is a child star and will forever be 10.
Yes,
absolutely. Dakota Fanning,
you were on
McConical.
That
exactly.
Yes, I was thinking she was on that a bit too keenly, wasn't she? She was like, yes, I'll stick to 10.
If Morgan's Macaulay Culkin, surely she should be on the heroin by now.
You, I don't think either of you just saw the face that Morgan pulled. Yes, please. I've heard so much about it.
Well, to be fair, it's available in the school canteen, but she hasn't been there for a while, so. Very, very quickly, did you manage to get hold of Kelly McDonald? Is she joining us this morning?
I didn't, unfortunately not. Maybe next week.
Oh, okay, we'll try again. Yes, so, where were we? Yeah, so this is a double episode special because for reasons that none of us are still clear on, especially the person who wrote the list, we are facing two of the worst episodes that all of us can remember or choose not to remember. The episodes that Laura has only watched once. I have absolutely no memory of them.
No, I've watched Nightmare on Elm Street more than once.
Oh, you poor thing. I have less of a memory of these than any other episode, which, given my starting point, tells you how bad that is. And John's the only one who's gone, oh, I remember those episodes. Why are we doing them?
Yeah.
So this is going to be fun. The plan is to do them back to back and get it out of the way as quickly as humanly possible without pressing the fast forward.
So we can get to the finale and the 50th.
Yes. So we can get to the good shit, essentially.
Yes. The only good parts of 2013, basically.
Yeah. Actually, thinking back to 2013, yeah. Never mind Doctor Who, across the whole thing. It was the highlight of the whole year. So why... Because this is...
You're just going to just look at the camera and go, why?
Yeah, I'm trying to... This is the point where I try and come up with some sort of interesting thing to talk about the thing that's coming up, and I just don't care. This is the second half of the run now, isn't it?
Yes.
And is it, do we think, the case that all the creative investment was in what was coming? So this is why these hit such a low point.
I mean, it's subjective, isn't it? Because there are people out there that believe the Rings of Akatan is brilliant.
Are there?
Yes, there are.
Yes, we saw that online. Laura sent us some screenshots of people just saying that this has got one of the best speeches that Matt Smith ever comes out with.
God, yes, there was, wasn't there?
Do you not think that Stephen Moffat dropped the ball a wee bit because he was too busy concentrating on the finale, the 50th anniversary?
Yeah, I think that's more the case. I think that's basically what happened, is everything was building up to the big payoff at the end. And getting
considering the complete, distinct difference in quality between from The Name of the Doctor onwards and then the other six episodes in this half of the series.
Yeah. This is it. It did suddenly go up several notches.
Because it had to.
Yeah. I mean, could it have been, and I'm being kind here, that these were late change scripts, that there was something else planned and it fell apart, so they had to put something else in, or that they suddenly got given extra time to fill and they weren't planning on doing these? Could it be something?
There's a story behind the Neil Gaiman one, but we'll get to that when we're actually watching the Neil Gaiman one.
Yes.
Because there's no point telling it now, and then we watch the episode and go, I've got nothing. But, I mean, I'm looking now at what else is happening in season 7, and to be honest, if we had decided to strive more towards something that might be kind of semi-enjoyable, but still kind of borderline mediocrity, I'd have gone with Cold War and Hyde, or even Cold War and the Crimson Horror.
No, we're going for the worst.
that's what I'm thinking. They're almost like, you either go for really good or you go for really bad.
Yeah.
But when you look at it that way, it's not as Laura's said so many times before, it's probably your least favourite season, yeah? 7?
Right? No, because I do enjoy the first half of Series 7.
Okay.
The first half of Series 7. Series 8 is my worst.
Yes, okay, no, fair enough. But I mean, when you look at the run, the Builder St. John is just basically,
yeah,
it's not great. But I think we do say this is support, that we treat it like a season opener, even though technically it isn't.
Yeah.
This episode coming up, I think, is terrible. Cold War, Hyde aren't terrible. Journey to the Center of the TARDIS, wouldn't even talk about that. The Crimson Horror's got some good moments in it. And Nightmare in Silver is, well, we'll get to that as well.
Yeah. The Crimson Horror does ring a faint bell, as in the title rings a bell, so I must, that must have made some kind of impression on me.
They were still doing the, for all Series 7 episodes, we're going to do a dramatic film-esque poster for it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And the Crimson Horror one, I think, is the best one. And that's why I remember it, because it's actually got a really, really nice...
Yeah, I have no memory of the poster, but I do remember the title of the episode, which makes me think it possibly wasn't the worst one around. Right, we're going to be talking around this, because all we're doing at this point is genuinely trying not to watch the episode. So I think all we can do is top up our drinks, take a deep breath.
The Crimson Horror is a Diana Rigg one, isn't it?
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah.
And it's written by Mark Gatiss, as is Cold War. And I'd go as far as to say that maybe there's an element of nostalgia here. I think it's possibly two of the best ones he's written. And that's me saying that because I don't really think a great deal of Mark Gatiss.
Mark Gatiss' episodes aren't very good as a general rule.
Well, in that case, they were the high watermark. Let's give credit where it's due. And we're not doing it. So let's get this over with. Come on, we can't delay this anymore.
Actually, the Crimson Horror is okay because it has Strax.
Yeah.
Good point. Yep. There we go.
It has Strax.
Yeah. Can you stop distracting? We are going to get this watch. We are doing this. Right. Are we ready?
No.
No.
Has anybody ever seen Dallas? That was a great show.
I do keep meaning to watch the rebooted Dynasty, and I haven't got around to it yet. But
oh my God, I can't believe iPlayer just a second have deleted the Rings of Akatan. Why would they do that?
In that case, I'm watching it and I'll turn the volume up and you'll still suffer by proxy. We are doing this. Stop delaying. You can't put off the inevitable. It's like global warming. It doesn't matter how long you sit here, it's still going to hit you. Right. As ever, dear listener, if you're still with us, God help you. Well, we press play, you press play, etc. and so on. You know the rules. Welcome to the 50th episode special, director's commentary, shit episode, wonder, double bill, and in we go. Are we ready?
Yeah.
Laura's just vanished again. I'm going to say in 3, 2, 1, but I can't see Laura's face to know that she's on it. I'm assuming yes.
Let's do it. Could you rewind it if she's not?
We only have one listener, we can't alienate her. In 3, 2, 1, and play.
Leaves.
Oh, yeah, leaves, leaves, leaves.
Leaves, gate. Ghost town.
Yeah, I do remember the leafy thing.
Paper.
That was the bad hair dye job again, isn't it? I'm not sure that the Beano did a summer special in 81.
Well, it's not just that. That looked very much like the kind of more, I'm not going to say new style Dennis the Menace, but it didn't look like the same way that they used to do.
Dennis the Menace looked in 1981. No, it really didn't. No.
That looked like, because it was a point, and I think it was obviously still while I was young, but I think it was possibly the mid-90s or early 90s where they got a new artist in for Dennis Menace, probably because the other guy was 100 years old.
Almost certainly.
And they kind of changed the way he looked, and that looked more like the kind of new style Dennis Menace.
Yeah.
To me.
They did, totally. Can we just, I was going to say pause, but let's not stop the show, let's keep going. Let's just reflect on the fact that was potentially the slowest hit and run in history. He did not need dragging out of the way. He could have walked slowly. And that car wouldn't have hit him.
That was the 1981 Beano Summer Special.
What was it?
Was it?
It was, yeah.
Wow, fair play.
Research.
It looked very... Because I was 4.
Yeah, all right.
I've just been born.
You can both fuck off again.
Assuming that it was published after... I might have even been 3, you know, depending on when it came out. But... constantly we should mention how much older Can is than the three of us.
Yeah. Thanks.
And me?
Yeah.
Being left out here?
No, you're not being left out. You're one of the three.
Yeah.
Basic mathematics. Do you remember I talked before about how Doctor Who used to be quite an educational show back in the 60s?
Yep.
Clearly, out something that's lacking now. Morgan can't count to four.
Well, apparently Morgan hasn't even worked out where the screen is. He's just staring out the window.
Like to see if the leaves are.
But yeah, this is. He's.
I know. Well, okay, we're starting the episode with the Doctor stalking Clara's parents.
Yeah, that's just wrong. I mean, that's just bad. Who's
Clara here? Clara here, even though they're trying to make her look younger, looks older than she does now.
Yep. Is that Danny Pink before she met Danny Pink?
Let's not go there. Is that the pre-Pink? It's the pre-Pink.
Pre-Pink Clara. Let's not do it.
Oh, yeah, we get it. She is, and she can't be. She. See, I have a suspicion that all the people getting their nappies in a twaddle about the infinite child thing, timeless child, sorry. It's going to go the same way as the impossible girl.
That buzzword's stuck in your head.
I am, totally. I'm just making words up as I go along today. It's gonna the timeless child is just gonna fizzle out exactly the same way that the impossible girl did, and won't actually come to any meaningful conclusion.
Well, again, this is a kind of paradoxical nature of fandom. They'll get really annoyed if it does, and they get really annoyed if it doesn't.
Yep.
You know, and it's almost like when we're talking about the 14th Doctor. You know, whenever the next Doctor comes along, they're kind of damned if they do or damned if they don't.
Oh, yeah,
if
totally.
If they go for another woman, people are going to go, yeah, they'll just do it. If they go for a man, they're going to go, it didn't work. And, you know, and
yeah.
They've almost to an extent kind of...
because even if they brought back all the previous Doctors and did them in rotation as some kind of weird... regeneration time loop, someone somewhere would still say, no, that was the worst Doctor ever. No, that was the best one. This is the best thing. It's the worst thing. It doesn't matter what they do. Someone somewhere is going to be pissed off with it.
Are you suggesting that they should go down the Angus Deaton Have I Got News For You route and start using guest hosts?
Yes.
Yeah. Start using guest Doctors.
Yes. Although,
I don't want that, because that means three times a series we'll get Alexander Armstrong.
Although only if we find out that Jodie Whittaker isn't spending her weekends off her tits on coke, hanging out with hookers. If that's the true story, then yeah, let's do it, because it'd be worth
it. I think if anything is actually going to get the people that hate her on side, it's that.
suddenly Jodie's become my favourite Doctor.
Oh yeah, totally. I'm on board with this, and I want in.
That's why she always had like three companions and the TARDIS, because it was just easier to go swinging than yep. There's more people.
Dogging
it's
is more.
It's part of the issue with this episode, the fact that we go through. I was making a serious point.
That was your problem.
As you were, carry on.
We have moments like this with a new companion each time,
yep.
With diminishing returns of just like, oh, look at the wonder of the universe. So we had Rose doing it in The End of the World.
Yep.
We had... Martha had already gone to space, like, in her first episode, so it doesn't really matter. Donna, much the same.
Yes.
Like, when somebody starts their journey on Earth, like Rose and like Amy, and then goes off, it's like Amy sees it and she's like, oh, fuck it, space. Oh, space. By the time we hit a third time of this trope,
did he do it with
the first episode on Earth, and then it's like this? It's just like we've seen it.
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of the Doctor feeling the need to show off a little bit, which I get. But
oh, look at the sun!
Yeah,
but they can actually continue to do the Doctor showing off without trying to capture the wonder.
Yes.
Because it did work from the perspective of Rose. You know, you get a kind of new group of people watching the show, and you experience Rose being in space with Rose, right? And then you're just thinking to a point, obviously they can still do that, because they kind of inevitably have to do it for every companion, unless it's like let's go back to Liz Shaw back in 1970. You know, I mean, generally the companions do end up in space, but you can reframe it.
You can.
You don't need to try and recapture this magic of, oh, look, I'm in space.
Think. Okay. So we'll go Rose. So Rose, end of the world. Bunch of like Cassandra and Face of Bo and everybody else. It's like that first moment of alien wonder.
Yeah. And
with Martha, it's in the first episode. You're up on the moon. The Jaduna there. You don't have to go then into a second episode to show this off.
No. Yeah.
Same with Donna. Donna obviously winds up immediately in the TARDIS.
Yeah.
So you've already had that sense of wonder with Donna. You don't need to go and show her the stars because it's already there. With Amy, it starts on Earth, and then you have, very similar to Rose, you have second episode, you're in space, there's lots and lots of different aliens around. So with Amy, you had... Beast below. Loads of aliens. You're up in space.
Yep.
We are repeating that. And here, we're trying it for a third time, and, oh, look, there's lots of aliens.
Yep.
I think part of the problem, because I rewatched it again the other day, the end of the world is done. It works on so many different levels in that it shows Rose the wonders of the universe in a confined moment, but also it shows the Doctor's excitement and wonder that he has as a almost like an infantile child reaction to everything, and his emotional response to what they're watching is very much at odds with Rose's response, and you get that whole mixture of this is his world, this is her world coming together, and that works perfectly in that because it sets up. It reminds you who the Doctor is after being away for so long. It reminds everyone what the companion's job is. And she's so on board so quickly that she kind of goes, and then she has peril, she has wonder, she has running around, she has little robot-y things, and Zoe Wanamaker being a bitch. Everything you could possibly want. We may have possibly talked about this before. But where do you go after that?
Because there's more to it than that. Russell T. Davis never ever future-proofed anything, and he didn't actually care there was going to be a showrunner after him. Every year he tried to do bam, 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 more, and actually the end of the world kind of shows that in a bit of a kind of microcosm.
Yeah.
Not only was it experiencing a better episode to showcase somebody, and that's one we actually kind of forgot about in your list, Laura. And it was a terrible episode, but a better way to showcase someone seeing space for the first time was Bruno Langley and The Long Game, because he's just a bit. But what I know exactly who would have known. But the reason for that is that Russell T. Davis doesn't just show the wonder of Rose being in space for the first time, but unfortunately also shows her witnessing the destruction of her own planet.
Yep.
That kind of element of nihilism where she's thinking, I'm in a place right now where my mum died 5 billion years ago. The meaninglessness of life all in, you know, but the meaninglessness of life almost kind of meaning that you make your own meaning in life, and, but, you know, let's not get philosophical about it, but he did all that in like a brief kind of 2-3 minute scene in the second episode of the first series of Doctor Who, to the point that when you see it happening to Amy, the best Stephen Moffat can come up with is either sent the UK into space, which is still quite a biggie, I suppose, when you think about it.
Yeah.
Then the next one is, oh, I'm going to show Clara some aliens and there's some freaky rings.
Which kind of... I'm going to gloss over that. This reminds me a little bit of conversations I was having with a friend after WandaVision finished. And we think that the Fantastic Four are now on the horizon. Because obviously Marvel have got them back.
Yep.
They got the deal sorted. So Secret Invasion is coming as a TV special. So that then it's from Hell, it's the thingy from Hellboy. That then sets up the Fantastic Four can come in. Kang has been cast, so it looks like they're going to bring them in. You don't need to then do the Fantastic Four origin story for the third time.
No.
It's been done twice, and Marvel have now created a universe that exists purely in and of itself. So anyone coming into it knows what's going on, and if they don't, they'll catch up quickly enough. Everyone else, the established audience, knows the backstory. And I think Doctor Who is unaware that it exists in that same space. That the fandom is so locked in and so passionate that you don't need to keep having a new companion up in space go, woo, look, planet blow up. You can just have your next adventure and have the companion playing catch up as they go, because we all know what the rules are and what the universe is.
Well, actually, when you say that as well, Jodie Whittaker's kind of end the first episode, second episode, which obviously has the new companions on another planet or in space for the first time, worked better.
Yes.
On account of the fact that I loved it, the way the first episode actually ended with them suddenly, they'd been weeked off, weeked is a very good Scottish word, they'd been weeked off into space, and for a second they couldn't breathe, and you're going, what was happening, blah, blah, blah. And the second episode, even though it's not a very good episode, they're almost kind of dragged along, and they don't have a chance to go, oh, this is lovely.
Yeah.
And it's a lot more kind of extreme almost, and even though the aliens are shit and it's a terrible story, they don't even get the chance to experience the wonder of what's happening to them, because they're basically fighting for their life practically the entire time. And that actually weirdly works better.
Yeah.
Because, oh, look, we're in an alien market, they're doing this.
I think you're completely right. I think if you have them taking in what's going on while running around at 90 miles an hour trying not to die, it actually adds to the tension and the drama and the energy of the story, rather than a simple, hey, let's go and stand here and look at the wonder of everything and pause and all get a bit misty-eyed and blah, blah, and then now let's go and meet an alien. You don't need to baby step us through this anymore, I think.
This is true. On another note, Roger Swift just had his account hacked again.
Not again.
Roger Swift with the same message.
God.
He's Roger Swift, the new John Carruthers.
Happened to me once.
I thought it happened to you more than once.
No, it's happened to me once. When I was trying to re-add everyone onto Facebook after it happened, Facebook got suspicious of the fact that there was this new account that was suddenly trying to add thousands of people. It just said, wait a minute, and tried to ban me again. But it did happen to me only once, and I would still love to know what happened, because it all happened while I was asleep. And I just want someone to say, John, you were really racist in the middle of the night.
I don't think the quality of your posting went up in any way. I think it seemed to maintain a standard level.
No, that's true.
Maybe I did actually do something that deserved it, and I've spent all this time kind of saying, someone must have hacked and banned me. But it was just a slow kind of, it was just a slow burn of just misogyny and hate, general hate crime.
I think it was a lack of Morgan pictures. That was the thing. This is what's saving your ass this time round.
I think I'm realising the two issues with this episode. Number one, only two? Trying to force feed us Clara and Clara's backstory by just rather than us discovering it gently.
Yep.
We're just getting, oh, this is why you should give a shit about Clara, because of the leaf and her parents, and here's the backstory. The other reason is because fucking hell, this is boring.
Completely. So I think
basically you're saying they're trying to do too much, but they're not doing enough.
Yeah, they're doing it. They're trying to do too much in the wrong way.
Yeah, but again, here's a question for you: if they'd given Clara an entire season, imagine the pawns left at the end of season 6, and Stephen Moffat a chance to explore fully what he wanted to do with Clara in season 7 and make it more of a slow burn. Do you think that would have been better?
I like the fact that
we just paused on this image. We just paused on this image with the song. There's no reason whatsoever for us to give a shit about this.
This is emotion and high drama. You forget this.
If this had been a sacrifice, if this was all leading up to this child being sacrificed on this stone.
Which is kind of what they're implying at this point.
I know, but if this is what happened, and then it was a case of...
Can we take a moment? Security, how on earth did he manage to run through into the middle of the arena when everyone else would have come in through the back?
Just conveniently had two empty seats.
Yeah.
Do you know what would have been awesome is if Laura had written this scene, right, the doctor runs out going, this is going to be really good, gets Clary sat down and then they chop the little girl's head.
We've had decapitation in Doctor Who before, it could work.
Yeah. Not of 10-year-old girls. Or however old she's meant to be. I just assume every kid's 10.
If you're not old enough to vote, you're 10.
Yeah, that is how I work. You're either newborn, you're 10, or you're old.
Yeah.
Those are the three categories of life.
The ages of man.
No, more singing.
Oh,
more
God, singing. Is he an actual proper singer or is he an actor miming?
Well, the words aren't lining up with his face, so...
No, that's true.
Yeah, but they would have probably, even if he was singing it, they would have probably recorded it in post-production.
God.
They're singing to the mummy in the temple. I don't know that one, but if you start singing that
one... is that in 4-4 time?
It's just us watching two people watching an opera.
Is this kind of some sort of weird Doctor Who Gogglebox experience?
It's basically what we've done for 49 episodes so far.
Oh, that's true, yeah.
And a perfect world.
However many episodes it might have been. Why is everyone holding up their ice cream cans?
Get your lighters out.
It'd just be great if, like somebody else came and just started rapping.
That's one thing I don't like about the smoking ban. You can't hold your vape up when during a ballad. It doesn't work.
It's just kind of...
You can still have lighters.
Yeah, but so many people vape now that not enough people have lighters, so it doesn't have quite the same effect. Five Zippos and a burnt thumb in an arena doesn't look very good. Although, back in the old days, that was always the funniest bit. You could spot who had the Bic lighters and the disposable lighters. Yeah, as you suddenly saw the flame go out very suddenly. Although, Lacuna Coil actually came up with an alternative. And they just went, just hold your phone up, put your torch on, and they just did it that way. And funnily enough, the whole place lit up.
I'm just thinking, you know, there's quite a lot of opportunities in Doctor Who when you have kids appearing in it, and you just go there's some episode where there's kids appearing in the episodes, you go, that's quite cool, and then you look at this and this girl's probably saying to all her pals, you know, I'm going to be in Doctor Who on Saturday, and like dead excited about it, and then she probably gets shit kicked out of her on Monday. And that was the worst episode of Doctor Who. This girl was probably bullied.
Oh, almost certainly.
Her and the kids that were in the doctor, the window in the wardrobe, they probably all go to the same school and they're just kind of cornered every day and have the lunch money stolen.
You'll probably find, actually, there's a special school for former child stars of Doctor Who, which is like a special boarding school where only they go. It's the Doctor Who equivalent of Professor Xavier's school for the gifted. And it's a small little private school in the Cotswolds for the traumatised survivors of Doctor Who child episodes.
But they've also got the ones that are the cool episodes, so like the kid that guides Martha and the Doctor and Captain Jack around during Utopia, he's like the school bully because he was in an actual decent episode.
Yes, but somewhere there is a padded room with a kid inside, and all over the walls it simply says, I love Chloe Webber. It's, yeah. It's stored away there.
Bruno Langley is the headmaster of the school.
Are you comparing Bruno Langley to Charles Xavier?
Just because it was going to be Davros, remember?
Yep, it's an obvious fit.
I love the fact that this is a 50th anniversary, and all we've thought, the 50th anniversary episode, well, it's not the 50th anniversary episode, but our 50th episode,
yes.
And all we've done is call back to Bruno Lang.
Well, you know, the 50th should be a celebration of the past.
Oh, yes, this is it. And that is the worst space bike ever.
Yeah, I know, the one from Futurama was better.
That's a space moped. Wait. I think you've got to admit the budget was definitely all on the finale episode, wasn't it? Because even the effects aren't that good. I mean, that's the worst green screen thing going on that I've had for a while.
Yeah.
I've said to you before, I've seen some terrible effects in Doctor Who and this entire run. And I think, you know, it came back in 2005, and this looks so much better than it did in the entirety of 1963 to 1989. And then within about 5 years, we became dead precious and snobby about how the effects were shit. And I went, I grew up seeing the zipper at the back of sea monsters.
Yep. I mean, I think the thing is, I mean, look, if we're going to get to do all this again when the next Blu-ray box set comes thudding through my letterbox. You accept that the effects were shonky back then because they were cutting edge, in inverted commas, of model work and fuzzy felt and Velcro. But you kind of lived with that because it was of the time. And you kind of accepted that it hadn't updated itself because the money wasn't there when Star Trek had gone so far ahead. You still kind of warmly felt like it was okay. But now when CGI is so cheap and so easy and so well done, to have that quite clearly like a screensaver in the background is just frankly insulting. How has he managed to do that with a sonic screwdriver when it's stone?
Because it's only wood that it doesn't work on.
Ah, of course.
That was easy for me to say.
This episode is going to be nothing more than a long length of excessive sighing as it all gets very, very shit.
Excessive exhalates.
I mean, it's just...
It's just dull.
Yeah.
It's just really fucking boring.
And the special effects, we've already mentioned, but the story's not that great, the acting's not that great. It's all just
there
kind of.
There have been boring episodes which have had a brilliant finale.
Yeah.
And that's what gets us talking about, and that's what we're waiting for. Oh, Roger Smith's just posting Beyond the Joke. I wonder what Roger's just posted.
He's selling really bad sunglasses.
Well, yesterday he was offering fantastic betting tips.
Still is.
I feel like I'm missing out. I'm more interested in what Roger Swift is up to.
Maybe Roger is just trying to do this, and then people said, I think you've been hacked. He realised and just went, I've been hacked.
Do it a couple of days later. Look at me, look at me. It's a brilliant way of getting attention.
His last post was from yesterday saying he was still alive and he hadn't been hacked.
Okay, he may have just deleted them all. He may have regained control.
Again. That note, actually, you don't get offered... Is that not the same one as before?
Yeah, it's exactly the same.
Okay. Why don't we get bombarded with sunglasses anymore? Have people just stopped selling sunglasses?
It's basically click on this link because I'm single as a new Ray-Ban.
I mean, I almost sort of miss being given endless adverts for Ray-Ban sunglasses. And I never understood who was clicking on a link for Ray-Ban sunglasses and it was then populating their entire feed. I mean, you can pick up a pair of sunglasses for a fiver at a petrol station. Why did you need...
The Ray-Bans, though, was more to do with adding people who sent you a random friend request as opposed to clicking something.
Ah.
Because that was just profiles full of Ray-Bans who would then go and advertise Ray-Bans on your wall. So maybe I think the reason you don't see it so much is those people still exist, but people have up their security settings so people can't just post on your wall. Because when that was prominent, that setting didn't exist, or it was very, very early, and people didn't know that they could stop people from doing that.
Now that I've got nothing else to spend money on because of lockdown, etc., I'd kill for a pair of Ray-Bans. You know, I can actually now... I now feel financially secure enough to just buy myself a pair, and now I don't have any links.
Don't forget to clear your browser settings before putting them on. While we were busy talking about sunglasses, can we just marvel at the appalling acting that's going on in that costume behind the screen? I mean, that is just... Someone fresh out of RADA thinks, I've got a part in Doctor Who, and it's actually just playing a monster moving, and I'm just going to gurn and do my best William Shatner miming.
The monster beside Clara isn't much better.
That's very true. On that note, I'm in the final third now of the original series of Star Trek. And it really does go mad on the San Francisco street miming, street theatre, drug-addled bananas stuff. It's bonkers.
For anyone that doesn't know what happened there, because again, you know, we're working on audio here. Laura just sent us a link for Ray-Bans.
No, I didn't.
Roger Smith just sent us a link for
Ray-Ban. Oh my God, some actual peril.
Do you realise, I think this
some
is...
Some actual peril.
This is the most... This is the most Roger Swift has ever been referenced in anything to do with Doctor Who. We haven't mentioned Marmite or the Manic Street Preachers once.
For someone who literally has had a joke in his set for about a decade where he has a screwdriver with Sonic the Hedgehog on top of it for Sonic Screwdriver.
Yep. These definitely are using some spare costumes from Hellboy.
Which one of them is an uncredited David Hyde Pierce?
he never existed.
Yes,
that ruined Hellboy 2, the Golden Army. Should have kept with David Hyde Pierce.
Yeah. Why didn't they? Did he just decide not to come back?
Someone somewhere made the decision, and I don't think it was Del Toro, that the guy in the costume wasn't allowed to talk. They didn't want his voice. The voice was wrong. I think it was a studio decision. So that's why Hyde Pierce dubbed it over the top at the last minute.
Is it the same actor in the costume?
Yes.
Yeah.
Wow.
And the same...
Do they get credit?
Yeah.
For playing that character?
Yeah. Wow. And he also is the guy in The Shape of Water.
Yeah.
I'm defeating you with the power of song.
Now, to be fair, Coldplay have been doing that for years.
I was going to say they've done it better, but no, they haven't.
No, they haven't. I mean, genuinely, a bunch of people sitting around looking bored... and a meaningless tune and nothing really happening. It's a Coldplay gig.
You can get out. They haven't locked the doors.
Yeah, whereas Ed Sheeran gigs, they lock the doors. I still don't get how that man ends up headlining arenas. I mean, one guy and a foot pedal is not an arena show. It's very clever what he does, but it's not an arena show. Ooh. Oh, please.
Nope, they're gone, they're fine. Oh, green screen again, lovely.
Oh, it's so bad. I mean, there's just no depth to it.
Morgan's loving it. She's not said a word.
I just assumed she was bored and fallen asleep.
Is it Morgan's new favourite episode?
Or has the heroin kicked in?
She just ordered a Rings of Akatan t-shirt.
Which reminds me, I've ordered a Delamitri t-shirt. I assume you've ordered your Delamitri t-shirt and album box set because you're Scottish and you have to.
Oh, yeah, no, I had to. Yeah. It's just that they would throw me out of the country otherwise.
That's what I thought. The t-shirt is absolutely shit and it's just an album cover and it's horrible because it's not that great an album cover. But I don't have a Delamitri t-shirt, so what am I going to do?
I know you do.
Yeah. It's been put back till May, I think, because there's problems with the vinyl pressing.
Yeah, well, that's why the big finished vinyls are coming out in April.
Yeah,
when they were due out already. There you go. I'm just contractually obliged to mention Big Finish, but I'm waiting for a Time Lord Victorious story, and it's just not happened yet, so I'm really annoyed.
I've got issues with OK Comics in Leeds at the moment because I subscribe to quite a few comics, and I asked them to add Time Lord Victorious to my subscription. And they sent me the first issue, and they never sent me the second.
Oh, right, okay.
And when I chased it up last month, they apologised, and they said, we'll add it to my next order, and it didn't come through again. So I pointed it out, and I got told that, oh, well, it came out in October, we haven't got a copy now.
Oh, bloody hell.
And it's like, no offence, boys, but it's March. It's not like I've only recently asked for it. I added it to my order before it came out. So I'm out to find a copy on Forbidden Planet and bought a copy of the first issue with a different cover.
Cool, yeah, there was lots of variants. There's also a Time Comics have now released a Missy comic.
Oh, I read the Missy book. It wasn't that good.
All right, I've not read the Missy book.
It's you know, some like the Borrowballs. Some books for young adults can be read by grown ups because they're well enough written.
Yeah.
The Missy book was quite clearly aimed at a younger audience.
And all right, okay. That's just you're missing a trick there. You could have made that really dark.
Totally. I mean, it still needed to be well written. I do like that as a still image, I have to say. Where did Weatherhead? What? How was she able to suddenly pilot a space moped that she'd never met before?
Because she's the impossible girl. Hashtag.
Hashtag
bad wolf.
Jesus.
Torchwood.
Yeah, it's just, I mean, I understand why some people get annoyed about basic plot devices, but little things like that do kind of bug me. You could make a thing out of I don't know what I'm doing and wobble about a bit, rather than just landing it perfectly.
It'd have been the most exciting part of that. Maybe that's what it was. They didn't want to make this episode too good. So it was like, Clara can suddenly drive. I'm not saying that Clara can't drive, but I'm just saying that she probably doesn't have any experience in a flying bike in space.
I'm not sure how many flying space bikes she got when she was growing up.
Not enough.
No, just piloted a Leaf. Okay, the subtitles are literally way A-A-A-A-A-A, so this is suddenly Geordie.
Does that mean Anton Decker in the audience? Oh, can someone, whoever's particularly loud at the moment, turn that down. I don't need to hear this.
Can you hear them? Yes. Is this the speech?
I'm assuming this is the speech.
This is the speech.
Wake up. It's just the alarm's just gone off. It's 7 o'clock in the morning and the household's somewhere in Tyneside.
Akela Strachan at Tommy Boyle and
Tommy Boyle?
Tommy Boyle.
Tommy Boyle. And Timmy Mallet. Was it Tommy Boyle?
Tommy Boyd.
Tommy Boyd.
Tommy Boyd.
I met Tommy Boyd at a bakery stand in Waterloo Station in 1995, but I didn't realise it was him.
Was he doing a promo or was he working?
Was he working?
Was he
getting something to eat.
Oh, right, got you. I thought maybe things had gone really badly wrong.
We were behind him in the queue in Waterloo Station. I was 14. He was actually presenting CITV at that time as well.
Wow, I wonder where he is now. Do you know Michaela Strachan now lives in South Africa?
No, I didn't. Really? Tommy Boyd did a lot of stuff with TalkSport Radio and General Talk Radio and was on the verge at some point of becoming a John Gaunt figure, shall we say,
in the world of
Talk Radio. So,
Oh, it's no great loss to the Raw then. Yeah,
oh,
yeah.
The speech is still, the speech
is still going on. He hasn't mentioned eating pears yet. If you don't bring in soft fruit into your speeches, it's not a good speech.
Oh, do people think this is a good speech because he cries on cue?
Mm-hmm.
Maybe because he read how the script ends.
We've been through 35 minutes of this.
And yeah, we're still not finished.
Someone's
oh, here we go with the old regeneration energy flinging it around like it's sherbet.
He
should have died a lot sooner, really, shouldn't he?
I think when Matt Smith tells Amy Pond, "You're Scottish, fry something," that was a better speech than this. and that was actually explicitly written against my nation.
By a traitor.
By a traitor. By some...
Who, Alex Salmond?
Well, let's not get any politics right now. we can do another podcast about that.
I was watching Fish on Friday last night, and for half the show, that's all he talked about. The vagaries of
fish, salmon.
True, yes. It basically stemmed from... Oh, come on! It's like a Spice Girls pop video now. He ambled down the thing of... He picked up on someone moaning that the government had spent X amount on lawyers and stuff, and he was trying to explain to you how easy that was. Without actually calling all lawyers shysters, he was calling all lawyers shysters. He was also recounting the fact that when he was embroiled with his legal battles with Marillion, his lawyer came up to see him for a face-to-face and decided to go fly fishing. And he said, and I had to pay for that. And part of my brain was going, well, of course you fucking did. He's a lawyer. It was your job to tell him to stay in his office in London and just get his job done. But never mind.
Oh, God, did we go again?
The annoying thing is, at this point, she's not dying. This is a goodbye Clara episode, but she's not dying. We don't need all this shit.
This is technically the first episode where she doesn't die.
Yeah, but it's treated like she is.
She even died in the last episode to be brought her back.
She doesn't die enough, that's my problem. We need more dead Clara.
Yeah. There's silence because we're caught up in the moment.
And that's where the Matt Smith doing the meme comes from.
Yep.
Infinity is too much. So you go basic mathematics. I was right, Doctor Who, it's still educational.
It really is.
1, 2, 3, infinity. You don't need 4.
You realise his trousers are too short. I just realised looking at that previous scene, his trousers are too short. Should we rewind and have a look? There, look. Trousers.
Yeah, let's rewind back to the start just for that moment.
Oh, God, yeah. I mean...
I don't know if you've got an equivalent saying, but in Glasgow, if someone's trousers are too short, you say your budgie's deep.
I think in Harwich, we used to suggest that a member of the family had died because your trousers were at half-mast.
Yeah, that's why we've got a half-mast as well, but for some strange reason, it was your budgie's deep.
How many dead budgies were there in Glasgow?
7.
Fair enough. Obviously, a very, very, very loved breed.
Yeah.
Why were you stalking me?
Yeah, that's a question that most people don't like to answer. I mean, is it really stalking if you just travel through time and space, tracking her every single move? I'm sure a judge wouldn't see it that way. It would just be slightly over-adventurous romance.
I mean, they could use the justification. Well, it was before I even met you. It was before you were born.
Do you know what? That would be an interesting defence.
The time travel defence. It wasn't technically stalking you. It was stalking your mum.
Yeah. That makes it perfectly normal. How much of this more shit have we got to go? Oh, we're almost at the end. Right. Right, pause that. Come out of it. Gosh, truth, that was, Jesus, interminable.
Morgan, what was your thoughts on the episode, Morgan? Yeah. What did you think of the episode?
I actually liked it.
Morgan liked it, so there you go. You guys are wrong.
Morgan, you're not allowed to like it. You're stay on brand. Stay on brand.
Yeah, we're supposed to all be in complete agreement that it was shite. That's a fair point. Morgan is technically the age group that they are technically supposed to be writing this for.
I can't argue against that. I won't lie. I'd love to, but I can't.
Doctor features minimally in the first act because Matt Smith was busy filming pickups or reshoots for Nightmare in Silver.
So half the reason
there's no Doctor in the first half of the episode is because of this episode.
Jesus Christ.
Just when you said the reason that Matt Smith hasn't the first half of that episode is because he was filming pickups and just to this image of him walking around my car goes, hey, I'm Matt Smith. trying to score with women.
Pickups was his brief dalliance with sitcoms, and sadly the pilot didn't get picked up. Right, are we ready to get this over and done with?
Let's do it.
I don't know how. I don't know whether Laura's just nodded off. I'm staring at the top of her head.
there's loads of references to Rose in the second half of season 7, which had people thinking, oh, you know, this is leading up to the fact that Billy Piper's going to be in the 50th anniversary. And clearly that date was one of those references.
Neil Cross was chosen to write this episode based on the strength of Hyde.
Oh.
So Hyde got submitted first. Oh, yeah, we really love that. Can you write something about us? Can you write an opera?
Because well, naturally you would.
Neil Gaiman wrote this particular episode in the strength of the Doctor's wife. So really, we've watched two episodes that are really shit, but were only commissioned on account of the fact that they'd previously written a better episode.
You can't argue with that logic, though.
Yeah.
Right.
Neither of them ever wrote another episode.
Well, that's how bad the second one was. Right, come on, let's get this over and done with.
I'm still going through.
Oh, you're still looking for your trivia. Fuck's sake, we don't need that much trivia. How much is
the glasses the Doctor is wearing at Amy's old glasses? That appears in every goddamn...
Yeah.
Every IMDb trivia with the Doctor now wearing glasses, that appears.
Right.
When the Doctor is in Blackpool, he reads the 1981 summer special issue of the children's comic book, The Beano. It's the same issue as the one that the Doctor gives to Graham.
Well, there you go. Are you going to stop coming up with trivia for an episode we can't stand? Just to put off watching another episode we can't stand?
Talking about an episode that we really didn't like.
Right, are we done? Are we ready?
It seems that Ellie was killed in the Auton attack in Rose.
Really?
That wasn't mentioned in this. It wasn't. That's
it's
a stretch.
Hypothetical. Somebody's got a big thing putting together all the pieces which are mentioned.
Okay, sure. Why not?
Somebody's written a fan fiction that they've now forgotten that they wrote and now think that it's part of the Doctor Who lore.
Works for me. Right, are we going? Let's get this over and done with. I've never had so much fun watching stuff I can't stand. Come on, right. on Morgan's note, are we ready?
Let's do it.
3, 2, 1, and play.
Right, Nightmare's over. Here we go.
With Arthur TARDIS.
Oh, God, we've got the kids. I forgot we had the kids.
Oh, God, this is one of the kids' ones, isn't it?
That as well.
Oh, the kids. Oh.
You're watching it anyway.
Green screen.
The appearance of two random children.
It's just...
How much of the series is obvious green screen? It's just so blatant.
It is, isn't it?
These totally. Two episodes.
Yeah.
So, I mean, the story behind this is Neil Gaiman wrote the episode and then left it in a taxi or a train or something like that, isn't it?
And then trying to make out that was an accident.
Somebody else came along and made it shit. Is that his excuse?
No, he apparently quickly rewrote it. So this is like a two-day Neil Gaiman, which I suggest is... I would expect more from Neil Gaiman. I imagine it obviously wouldn't have been as good as the original product, but I imagine it could have probably a lot faster than me. If I'd written a script for Doctor Who and then lost it and had 2 days to write the next one, I might have come up with something comparable to The Rings of Akatar.
Yeah.
But I would expect Neil Gaiman to go, you know, I could probably do this. It might not be as good as it was, but I mean, it looks like you look how good the Doctor's wife was, and then you see this.
Basically, Neil Gaiman thought, in 8 years, there's going to be 4 people watching this back-to-back with The Rings of Akatan, and my episode will look gold after they've watched The Rings of Akatan. So this is what I'm aiming for.
What's her from EastEnders called again?
Bianca.
No, not Bianca.
Doc Cotton.
No, keep going. She's just been on screen.
Wellard.
Sadly not. Blonde. Can't remember her name. But I just realised that she just basically plays the same character in everything. She's a slightly pissed off EastEnders barmaid with a gun. That's it.
You can see automatically this is trying to recapture the lighting and everything from the Doctor's wife.
Yep. Yeah.
It's trying to be a similar episode in terms of random wonderment. It's just replacing the embodiment of the TARDIS with two kids. It doesn't work.
Not so much. But you can kind of see why, not why, that you can tell that Neil Gaiman wrote it. Because it's the same sort of basic tropey thing, isn't it? Of a bit gothic-y, a bit Tim Burton-y, and like you said, the lighting. And it's just... Yeah.
Is this Matt Smith's only proper Sideman episode?
Is this where he gets is this where he gets the head from?
I don't know. I don't think so.
I mean, you can call the name of the Doctor a Sideman episode because it features them, I guess. But
closing time's a Matt Smith one.
Oh yes, of course. Yeah. Okay, so no is the answer.
Yes.
Because we just put closing time out of our minds again.
It didn't happen.
I've got a closing time story, which I probably wasn't able to tell you. I can't the fact that we didn't watch it, but I was in Spain when closing time was aired, and I used to have a kind of unofficial rule that I tried not to be in Spain while the Doctor Who run was on. I was actually slightly, I imagine being annoyed that you're being dragged to another country. So I was slightly annoyed that I was being forced to go on holiday during the Doctor Who run on account of the fact that it was very difficult at that point to watch BBC shows while you were abroad.
Yes.
Not so much of a problem now. Case in point being that I was able to watch Jodie Whittaker's first episode on the BBC iPlayer on my phone in another country. Still not sure how I was able to do that, but I was. But anyway, go back to this. I was finding alternative methods of trying to find closing time. And of course, the only way to do it was to actually kind of piggyback on something and watch it live, which is what I did.
Wow.
So I was also in a situation where it was around about the time that we were all supposed to be eating dinner. And I more or less said, well, I'm not eating dinner with you. I'm going to go and watch Doctor Who. Thus kind of basically rubbing everybody slightly up the wrong way. And I think the fact that I'd chosen a science fiction show over spending time with my family. So I went and did that. People were quite annoyed. My family were, what's going on here? Tanya came in and said, this really isn't on. I had a bit of an argument with her about it. Continued to watch Closing Time. Had the double downer of the fact that I'd almost destroyed the holiday and my relationship based on what was the shittest episode of Doctor Who that I'd... And I remember rewatching it ages later going, was I just in the wrong frame of mind for it, on account of the fact that I'd had this stupid argument over the fact that I'd rather watch Dawn of the Dead with the family, and it thus destroyed my enjoyment of the show, and discovered that no, it was just a really shit episode.
I like the fact that you, had it been a better episode, you'd have kind of gone, oh, well, it was worth all the upheaval and the hassle and possibly the ending of several relationships, including my close family. But it's a shit episode. And you've got, I can't break up with someone over a shit episode.
Well, do you want to know the hilarious thing about it was the next week I was back in Scotland while Tanya was still in Spain. Morgan and Tanya were still in Spain. I came back a week early and watched the finale with a group of friends. but I was always supposed to be going back. I didn't jump a flight to Glasgow. Yeah. Saying, right, I'm out.
Yeah, that's what you're going to say now, isn't it? Talk about retconning your own storyline.
Can I just write something in chat? I was going to write something in chat.
Are we allowed to read it out?
I'm writing a joke. I'm writing a joke.
Can we all just pause to marvel at the fact that...
This is why I'm writing it. This is why I'm writing it. I am proud of this.
One of the comedians... that time in that pun group's done you good, isn't it?
If Laura ever wants to use that in a show, she has to drag me down to pick that story and then go, anyway, can you welcome a headline out, please? It's Laura Mormon. You just come on and then do that one line and then walk off.
Yep.
Just going back to what you were saying there, John. Just going back there. Did you have a... I'm not doing it. It's gone. I'm not doing it. This stays in the group chat. It's
staying in the group chat.
If you do have access to our Patreon account, you will find out what the joke was.
The Patreon account also, of course, has the holiday photos.
Yeah, absolutely. What is it, Marvin?
Patreon account was also the third scrapped Neil Gaiman episode.
Simpsons, or he looks like an older version of Ed Sheeran.
He looks like an older version of Ed Sheeran.
I like that. Well played. Well played.
Jason Watkins.
Closer to Dead Sheeran.
Hang on a minute. Well, back up. We appear to be wearing a skirt with pockets. That's not on. No, we can't have that. The patriarchy didn't invent the skirt so you could have pockets. That's the whole point of a skirt, is you don't get pockets.
It's the 21st century. It's probably the 29th century here.
That's true.
And Warwick Davis is still alive.
He's never going to die. He just exists permanently. Until they delete Willow and decide it was a shit film, he has to permanently exist.
I went to see Willow in the cinema.
I had more sense. However, having said that, I did see Caravan of Courage on the big screen.
Well.
And Krull.
Krull as well.
Yeah.
Caravan of Courage is probably my favourite House Martin song.
It's also arguably one of the better Star Wars films.
Someone at the door.
There's somebody at the door. There's somebody at the door.
The door. Wouldn't it be great if Laura came back with Emu?
Tamsin Outhwaite. There we go.
Tamsin Outhwaite. There we go.
I knew I'd get there in the end. I mean, she's just basically playing her EastEnders character.
Yep.
And that appears to be Louis Theroux. It's just... Getting confused is standard. I mean, it's just... It feels like they're trying to up the drama and the tension and the wow factor with the lighting, and it's just not working. Like putting squirty cream on a really shit cake.
Is there anything in the trivia about Neil Gaiman losing this script?
Where's your emu? We were expecting an emu.
Or drop bags.
We didn't do a call back to a show our audience don't remember just for you to not bring an emu on screen that they can't see.
There's definitely someone pink windmilling outside, but it's not what you think.
That again, save that for the Patreon account.
That's our only fans.
Can we not call him the little bloke? I'm not sure that that's aged well.
No, definitely not. That's up there with Anakin Skywalker killing all the younglings.
Which was arguably the best scene in that entire film.
Yeah.
Trilogy.
No, no, trilogy. I'm not having that. No, the best scene in that trilogy is still Ewan McGregor screaming in The Revenge of the Sith. That's brilliantly done.
Don't. Oh God, there's Quicksilver.
Hey,
go and watch WandaVision. It's much better than this.
Sorry, am I not getting anything for Quicksilver?
I got it, I
put it in context, and now I'm picked up on what I was saying, so I just, you know, as you were, carry on. Out of interest, does this prove my theory that silverfish are aliens?
I didn't know that was a theory.
I may not have mentioned it. I get frowned upon for bringing it up in polite society. But all those little squirrely things look exactly like the silverfish I find in my bathroom, unless that just means that I have a Cyberman in my loft and I haven't dealt with it yet.
Was it Cybermats? I'm not even watching the episode.
Well, they in theory they are Cybermats, but they're actually little cyber wormy things.
All right. Do you know what's great is the fact that you saw that very, very quickly grabby Cyberman kind of rushing through with Laura's Quicksilver joke, blah blah blah, and then the point where he just kind of wanders in and then puts her down was just some of the slowest, clunkiest Cyberman work I've ever seen. He's like, "Whoa, I'm really fast! I'm the fast Cyberman." Was he out of breath? He's like, "All right,
yeah." Look, he's expended all his energy by running and grabbing a child. He's then a bit pooped.
You actually look at this. You look at this concept, right? You look at the idea of this being a kind of weird, kind of futuristic funfair type thing. The little bits and bobs, the kind of porridge guy, we'll get into that further on. And the weird kind of, you know, stuff isn't quite working the way it's supposed to be, and everything looks like it's really old and dated. And then the Cybermen and the chests and stuff. And this could have been a cracking episode.
It could have been so much better, couldn't it?
Yeah. There's loads of little kind of quirks in it that you can actually definitely see that Neil Gaiman kind of really weaves. It was almost like he kind of, you know, he writes a story and it's got certain tropes in it, and then he maybe goes back and weaves some magic in, and then he just kind of, oh, we've not got time to weave any of the magic in, just left you with a shine.
Yet again, getting on board with my topical musical references.
Like, most of this trivia is about the redesign of the Cybermen. There's like five different things saying exactly the same thing.
I didn't even really notice much of a redesign.
His progress was stalled by the loss of his laptop.
There we go.
The commitments.
Ah. Does that also explain why the film with Robert De Niro and
Al Pacino?
Al Pacino, whatever it was. I can't remember. Oh, Fairy Dust, whatever that film was called.
Stardust, yeah.
So maybe, does that explain why Stardust was such a shit film?
I like Stardust.
It's terrible. The book's even worse, but the film is terrible.
We can't blame every single thing that Neil Gaiman has done wrong on him losing this particular laptop.
I'm going to. I really am.
Yes, you can. I remember, because obviously, as you know, like I'm just uber geeky, and I remember the Virgin, which was a very appropriate publishing company for Doctor Who fiction. the Virgin New Adventures continued kind of Sylvester McCoy's kind of run as the Seventh Doctor. And they came up with kind of story arcs before the TV show did, unless you count stuff like The Key to Time and stuff. But so they had specific kind of story arcs running, and they were working towards a very particular story arc close to the end of the Sylvester McCoy run called the Psi Powers. Something like that. And Ben Aronovich, who wrote Remembrance of the Daleks and Battlefield, also wrote quite a few Virgin New Adventures, and he was supposed to write the last part of this, and it's a book called So Vile a Sin, and his laptop died while he was writing this, and his hard drive died, and it was absolutely gubbed, and he got another Virgin New Adventures writing in, because he more or less just kind of spat out the dummy and said, you know, that's me, I'm kind of done. He'd caught fragments of it, he sent it to Kate Orman, and she finished it. Unfortunately, because it was so far behind deadline, they then published the next three books before his finally came out.
Oh.
The one that he co-wrote with Kate Orman. And unfortunately, one of the main characters dies at the end of it. And of course, you read this book and it's going, oh, ever since Rosalind died. And they're like, what?
Shit.
And then you actually... So when the book finally came out, you're just like, all right, that didn't have anywhere near the impact.
You do realise, of course, that all these Matt Smith and the two kiddies and evil, nasty, brilliant British actor person whose name escapes me, all this isn't the cybernetics thing. This is them having had the COVID vaccine.
That's it. That's Jason Watkins.
Thank you. Was that James Acaster earlier? With the ginger hair and the glasses?
Call the two doctors.
Oh, God.
This is the first multi-doctor story they have in Yahoo. There you go. Two Matt Smiths. The two Matt Smiths.
Reminds me, actually, apparently Paul Bettany was tweeting out that he couldn't wait for the final episode of WandaVision.
Because he was getting to work with someone he'd always wanted to work with.
Yeah, he was going to work with someone he really admired and always wanted to work with.
Yeah.
And everyone got really excited until...
Oh, it's going to be Benedict Cumberbatch, despite the fact that they'd already worked together.
Yeah.
Oh, it's going to be Ian McKellen.
Despite them, yeah. Everyone got really excited, and then it turned out that he meant him. Well, now I want to know who played that soldier with the ginger hair.
There was lots of memes about Doctor Strange appearing in the finale, and apparently the Funko Pops released a WandaVision alternate version of Mephisto. And everyone's going, oh, well, that's going to be the big bad. And then proceeded to not be in it. So I don't know what happened there.
I suspect there's a lot of things that are still being left nicely open-ended, but they've got so much stuff now on the plan, films and TV shows. It's all going to come together down the line.
I get the feeling that and I'm actually very excited
about it. Oh, God, where did that come from?
Hey. I'm excited about the kind of online, the kind of online platform stuff that Marvel are doing for kind of Phase 4, if you will. But it almost feels like they're doing too much.
I do worry a little bit that they're doing that they're just kind of throwing everything at it now, because now they've been given the TV channel to play with. They've sent, rather than it's the Jeff Goldblum thing of they didn't think whether they should or not. I think they're just going to go hell for leather and just create all this extra stuff.
It's a little bit of a worry. I mean, and I think I stated this online, I don't know why they didn't, unless there's a very specific reason they've done it this way, because you just don't know. But I really think they should have done the Falcon and the Winter Soldier first, because I think that after WandaVision, it's going to be thoroughly underwhelming.
I suspect, in the same way that Spider-Man Far From Home kind of dips a bit after Endgame, but you kind of need that because there was so much stuff to digest from Endgame and so much emotion that a bit of light fluff is kind of what you need. And they're very good at measuring the depths of emotion and the tempo and stuff. So I think that's their plan.
You're possibly right. But then, of course, they could have equally done that by not releasing it right after one. I mean, it's literally out in 2 weeks' time.
Yeah.
Why didn't they have a bit of a palate cleanser and say, see you guys in May? But I mean, they're really kind of...
It's only like four episodes as well, isn't it?
It's six.
Oh, is it six?
Yeah. But apparently they're longer, so they're almost like about 50 minutes long. Obviously, taking into consideration the fact they'll probably have an 8-minute credit sequence at the end, but which was ridiculous.
Yeah. I mean...
It's still 3 hours of Bucky, and no one should have 3 hours of Bucky.
You leave Bucky alone. I'm still warmly attached to Bucky. Yeah, I'm still warmly attached to Bucky, partly because I called it from the first Captain America film and partly because I love the books. Brains there, going back a bit, don't rewind. Ginger Guy Glasses is played by Will Merrick, no less, and him, and he hasn't aged a fucking day. He's in the current, he's in now in Dead Pixels.
Is that who Morgan said looked like Ed Sheeran?
Yeah, him. Yeah, the goofy looking Ed Sheeran is now in Dead Pixels. He's very funny, and Dead Pixels is very good.
I've not seen Dead Pixels.
Oh man, I think there's only six or eight episodes. They're quite short, 20 minutes each with adverts. You can hoover it up in an afternoon, and it's really good fun. And the second series is as good as the first, if not slightly better.
One of your friends was talking about For All Mankind, the Apple TV show.
Mm.
I've also been watching, there's another Apple TV show called Seven, and it's written by, it wasn't written by him. It was executive produced by, and some of the episodes were directed by M. Night Shyamalan.
Oh, no.
It's probably one of the best things he's ever had his name associated to, probably since The Sixth Sense.
Oh, okay.
And he's got none of the kind of creative input into it. Someone else has written it. He directs a few episodes. The episodes that he directs are really good because he's almost been told, no, you're not writing this, you're not touching this.
Yeah.
And Lauren Ambrose in it from 6 Feet Under. She was also in Torchwood at the Miracle Day.
Yeah.
She was an executive on a Miracle Day. It's got her, it's got someone else who I don't recognise. It's got the guy that was a journalist and the kind of head journalist in House of Cards.
Okay.
And it's got Rupert Grint in it.
Ooh.
And it is the best thing Rupert Grint's ever done. And every scene he's in, he steals. He's brilliant in it. He's a very well off coke addict, kind of alcoholic.
Oh, fantastic!
He's just constantly kind of reaching for the booze, and he's just really cynical, and it's brilliant, and it's one of these kind of, it's an uncomfortable slow burn. All the episodes are only about 25 minutes long, and it's just real, it's compulsive viewing. I really like it.
Yeah, I'll have to check that out. Have you watched any of whatever that morning TV show with Jennifer Aniston?
It's
called.
It's fantastic. The morning show.
Yeah, because I'm back on Newsroom again for about the fourth time, and it feels the morning show feels like an all girl reboot of Newsroom.
Do you know the morning show is? I would say it's not quite comparable to the Newsroom, but it's up there.
Oh, okay.
And Steve Carell's in it also when you're taking that off. The reason you think it was a kind of all-girl reboot is because Steve Carell more or less gets ousted from the show for a very specific reason, which is intrinsic to the plot.
Okay.
And Reese Witherspoon is kind of brought in, and it's really good, but you also see what's happening on the kind of sidelines with the fact that Steve Carell's almost trying to get back in, and it is I can't even begin to explain how good it is. It is wonderful.
Okay, I'll go back to it then. I started it and it wasn't bad, but it had that kind of American sheen to it, which Newsroom doesn't have, but it felt like that's what they were doing. Obviously,
the reason it has that sheen to it, it's, I suppose to an extent, almost the same as what they did with WandaVision, was the fact that, you know, when they were in the kind of sitcom element of it.
Yeah.
Felt like that, and of course, a lot of the kind of you start to see just how grubby everything is under the surface.
Ah.
And it works, it works really. I thought it was, I was amazed because I actually didn't expect to like it and thought it was brilliant.
You're contractually obliged to like it.
I am. There's a couple of, I would say that Apple TV shows have had about a 50-50 split. And they've either been wonderful or dreadful.
Okay, cool.
And I would say Servant is brilliant. It's really uncomfortable. The Morning Show is amazing. For All Mankind is amazing too. There's a TV. There's also a kind of comedy about Emily Dickinson, starring Hayley Steinfeld. It's really offbeat and it's bizarre. And I didn't think I liked it till about episode 3. and then it just all clicked. And I just think it's one of the best things they've produced. It's really good, and it's really kind of offbeat. And it's one of these shows that, even though it's set back in the kind of 18th century or whatever, or maybe even the 17th century, I don't know, I don't pretend to know American history, but even though it's set back then, they occasionally just fall into kind of modern mannerisms, but not in a really kind of overbearing way.
Yeah.
That you sometimes see with stuff. But, you know, it works really well. So the Apple TV stuff's just either been really good or really bad.
Okay, I'll have to go and explore it then. Can I add it as an app through my Xbox already, or my Skybox?
I think you can.
Right. I'm not going to, I just wondered.
They do some get it free for a period of time deals, because I will say that I'm talking about how wonderful this is, and I basically get some free months added on every time I buy an Apple product, which means I've not paid for a single month of Apple TV yet. I would say that if you were going to do it. For instance, wait till For All Mankind season 2 is finished. Wait till Servant season 2 is finished. It's nearly at the end. And what to do is pick up a month's subscription of it and blag the damn thing. This podcast contains product placement. That's what I would say. It's the same with Stars Play as well. I would wait until you've got some time where you can just absolutely destroy everything that's worth watching.
Yeah.
And get a 1 month or 2 month. Right now, Stars Play, this absolutely is product placement. Right now, Stars Play is doing 6 months for $1.99 a month. It's usually $4.99 a month. There's enough good TV on that I would suggest you could justify a 6 month subscription.
Okay.
And then after then, your 6 months, you just cancel it. That's basically, you're paying £12 for 6 months.
That's worth playing with.
And I'll point you in the direction of all the stuff you have to watch, because it's amazing. And then as soon as your 6 months is over, you just cancel it.
As we've now been joined by my cat, has anything interesting happened in the episode? Has anybody actually been watching it? Because it feels like
lots of chess references.
We've just wandered off and had a far more interesting conversation about other things to watch.
There's not chess going on, which is weird, because this is a much better episode than The Rings of Akkatan, but it still
isn't gripping, though, is it, by any stretch? And don't apologise, John, I was very enjoying finding that new show to watch.
that's basically a futuristic version of The Queen's Gambit.
Yes! That's it. The Queen's Gambit is much better. Oh, God, can you imagine if The Queen's Gambit had starred Jenna Coleman?
It'd be better with Karen Gillan, just to keep the redhead thing.
Yes, I'd have taken that. Or Emily, or Kelly MacDonald. Kelly MacDonald can be in anything. She's brilliant. But it's just, I mean, I know we kind of dance across the top of episodes because we're usually talking about bits and bobs and whatever. But this really does feel like we just drifted off and just didn't really care what was going on screen at this point. It's just not that gripping an episode, is it?
See you in Series 8.
what I will say is that I think that it almost works against it, that, you know, this is like written by Neil Gaiman. If you had watched this episode and it said written by Alan Smithy, you'd have probably thought it was a half-decent episode. But I think...
Yes.
I think The Doctor's Wife set the standard quite high.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, totally.
I'd actually be interested if you could completely anonymise who wrote any specific episode of Doctor Who, whether it would potentially change your opinion on some episodes.
I think it only would on episodes such as this. Because...
Okay, so if we suddenly discovered that Fear was written by a 5-year-old, wow, it's a great episode.
Yeah.
Well done you.
Do you know what? I'd actually think it would be improved immensely.
Well, Laura, the wonderful thing about Well Done You was it just sounded so patronising. you would actually legitimately kind of go, bloody hell, well done.
Yeah.
If I met the person who wrote Fear Heart, I would probably say well done you in the exact same way that you would patronise a 5-year-old.
I think Neil Gaiman issues aside, I think the other problem with this episode is it manages to have one of the uber baddies and still be dull.
Yeah.
Because it's like, if you had a dull Dalek episode, there probably have been some that I just can't remember.
You're saying this, like, pretty much every single Sideman episode of the entire new series, with one or two exceptions, hasn't been completely dull.
Generally, no. Generally, the Sidemen episodes are a bit better because they're Sidemen.
I don't think that. I mean, really, I think that I really liked the fact that the Capaldi finale went back to the kind of old style Mondas Cybermen. I thought that was the right kind of creepy sort of thing.
Yeah.
But I'd suggest that there hasn't been a legitimately really good Cyberman episode since Earthshock.
I'm not disagreeing with you, but
the Doctor falls.
The Cybermen episodes, the Cybermen episode, even James Corden can't completely ruin a Cyberman episode.
The Doctor falls is what the episode that I meant. That is the one where it goes back to Capaldi and the kind of old style kind of Mondas Cybermen. You know, that was the Doctor falls, wasn't it?
Yeah,
well done up in time in the Doctor Falls. But before then, I would say that there hadn't been a decent Cyberman episode since.
But the Cybermen do generally manage to elevate and lift an otherwise shitty episode. Even James Corden can't completely ruin a good bit of cyber action. And yet this one seems to just not really...
Are you genuinely saying the whole concept of Cybermen being defeated by love is not ruined enough?
It kind of does work a little bit.
I bring you love.
that reverberated. I heard that twice.
I know, it's weird. I didn't realise that Fear Her was written by...
A 12-year-old.
Matthew Graham.
By who?
Matthew Graham.
Who?
As in the creator of Life on Mars.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
It was. See, this is where it goes back to about anonymising stuff. Like I've said before, that I think Stephen Moffat's best writing was when he wasn't the showrunner, and I kind of to an extent kind of stand by that. But like, if they did slightly anonymise it and you didn't know episodes that Stephen Moffat had written during the Russell T. Davis era, you probably wouldn't have held him in such high regard for the Stephen Moffat era. Therefore, making the episodes he did write the Stephen Moffat era probably slightly more palatable to you. I just feel that sometimes, like when I heard Neil Gaiman had written an episode for season 7, I was genuinely excited.
Yeah. Do we just reflect back on how bad all the Cybermen amassing on the border CGI was? Because that really did look like it was just slightly enlarged pixels.
Should we consider the border when it's a mount?
You know what I mean. It was just not good.
Again, they used obviously these Cybermen scenes for the trailer for the second half of season 7. I don't know if you've seen it yet, but there's a point where you see a Cyberman kind of grabbing a mace type thing, and in the context of the trailer, it looked awesome. And then in the actual episode, you're just like, right?
Yeah, totally, totally.
And go back to the pop vinyls again. They actually had a half kind of cybernized Matt Smith as one of the limited edition pops, and it was just the exact same kind of pop that they had, except it just a wee bit of metal on the side of the thing. And we still bought it. We lapped it up.
I don't doubt that. I mean, The name of the theme park is alarmingly close to Hogwarts.
Well, I remember there was talk that J.K. Rowling was going to write an episode of Doctor, and I was dead excited to realise she's a cow. Daddy, to delete that.
No, that's absolutely fine. I'll stand by that.
Can we mute that?
No, we'll keep that in. I would hate to think what that woman would do to Doctor Who.
Well, Stephen Fry, of course, was supposed to write an episode as well, and then he just came back and went, "Oh, not a chance," and then he just dropped it.
one. Yeah, I don't know how well that would have gone.
He wasn't like...
Yeah. Ali, Jason Watkins, I think he's actually a genuinely good actor.
Who's that?
He looks like Ed Sheeran.
The spell of here that's just disappeared now from the show. The guy that's basically cybernated looking as well.
The guy playing Brains, him. He's a very good comic actor.
Yeah.
This is the only issue here, is that it goes a bit Borg in that the Cybermen adapt very quickly to the weapons, which is completely changing the whole history of Doctor Who, and it retcons, etc., and so on, and ruins everything.
Chibnall must go, he's destroyed the cannon.
Simon invented chess. That's the canon of history.
But that's just entirely Chibnall's fault.
Oh, there's the mace. That was it.
Yep, well done.
But actually, using the kind of the music and Murray Gold's music, and just as a kind of fleeting scene in the trailer, you're like, oh, this is quite exciting. And then when you actually see the context of the episode, you're just like underwhelmed.
Yeah. It's just... And that's too slow. That's too... Oh, that's quite fun. But it's just, at every turn you watch this and think, that could have been done better.
Yeah. All I've seen in this episode is real potential that it didn't quite reach.
Yeah, totally. My cat's got a bald spot, by the way.
Aww.
Yeah, scar tissue when he got an itch and he decided to rip half his head off. Dozy twat. Oh, now the theme park is fun.
I played a lot of theme park on the Super Nintendo in the 90s, and I don't remember there being Cybermen there. That would have made it quite good. Too much salt on the fries, vomit everywhere. Cybermen.
That would have been so much a better game. Is that game still available? Can I still play that?
There was a DS update, but there's different versions of like theme park stuff.
Because I find the modern versions of The Sims is just tedious. It's not as much fun as the old pixelated 2D version. And actually, if you remember the whole what game was this game we played for that Martian thing, the rebooted version is an absolute pig to play on Steam on my machine.
Oh, really?
Such a disappointment. And I can't seem to put Steam on an Xbox or on a PS4, which is just fucking annoying. Actually, on that subject, if I did put those Liverpool skins on my PS4, how long do you think it would take somebody to notice that there was now a red box under the TV?
It's red more noticeable than black. It's been like 2 months now, 3 months.
We're into the third month.
Into the third month.
And a copy of PlayStation Magazine wasn't enough of a hint. I mean, by now I've given up. She's not going to notice. And it took her 6 months to spot a white Xbox, so it could be a year. I just don't know whether suddenly sort of red stripes under the skybox might alert her a little bit. I mean, it's entirely for my own amusement, let's be fair.
Tanya and Scott have been baking and it smells amazing. And just when we log off, you know, we are just going to go and gorge ourselves with some fantastic pastry treats. So
thanks for that.
There you go. Just add insult to injury of what you need to do.
So two shit Doctor Who episodes and you get cake at the end.
That feels
me. Is it not? What does?
I've got pig oil.
Pig oil.
What the hell's pig oil? Apart from a really shit aftershave.
Well, say that the German equivalent of vegetarian meals usually you find bacon bits in it. What the fuck? Yeah.
That's so German.
But I can guarantee that none of the baking products that we made today contain pig oil. What the hell is pig oil?
I may stick that on the JPEG-y meme-y thing I put out. I may actually use that one.
Let me create you a bottle of pig oil for you.
Oh, please. Because I don't particularly want to use a picture of either of these two episodes because it's just going to be shit. It should also really upset anyone who knows I'm vegan. Which isn't many people because we don't talk about it much, obviously. Fun fact. It's the first time I've mentioned it on this podcast. And also, I don't need to tell people because other people around me tell other people for me because they think it's a thing. Fuck off. Oh, you can't say that about him. He's one of them. Fuck off.
One of them.
Brilliantly, they've introduced a vegan character into the Archers and the Archers audience are losing their shit. It's hilarious. Oh, did Morgan not understand how messages were appearing on screen?
Morgan was amazed because Morgan doesn't do it. Kind of, she's not at the stage yet, she's right into her kind of multi and social media, and she was just amazed.
I may as well try and keep it going until she understands.
Oh, I think this is going to end badly. The look of concentration on someone's face right now is brilliant. Oh, little tongue sticking out of the corner of her mouth, focusing on the fingertip. This is great. Dear listener, we're having more fun sending each other messages over Skype than watching this fucking episode. And apparently Morgan is rewriting War and Peace. This is like the anticipation of a Neil Gaiman episode. Will it be good? Will it be great?
A good Neil Gaiman episode. Proper anticipation.
Yeah. The anticipation you have when you've never seen a bad Neil Gaiman episode. Fantastic. Fantastic. That was...
It sounds like a really kind of rubbish battle cry for the vegan.
It really is a bad battle cry because we got.
Pardon?
Well, that was often my view as a teenager, certainly.
That was pretty... I'm mildly dyslexic, wasn't it? Right?
Yeah, that was the reason for my existence about the first 15 years. Yeah, my early 20s was entirely focused on that. Oh, is the episode finished? Oh, thank fuck for that.
Oh, God, so it has.
Oh. Are we done?
Yeah, I mean, that's not much better.
bring me pig oil.
Oh, Chancellor, a good episode. Fucking hell.
Ooh, yep. Look at the cat.
Hey.
Oh, caves.
This
suddenly, I mean, talk about... As we're on the vegan thing... I shall give you an analogy. That's like going from the original vegan cheese to the good shit you can have now. Going from that episode to that trailer is such an upgrade. My God.
20 seconds of the next episode is better than...
Yeah.
An hour and a half of...
Fuck. Right, well, we made it. We got
there
it through.
There was a character in that episode called Messy.
Oh, there is, isn't there? Yeah, right, we made it. We got to the end. We have survived.
It's out of the way.
Do we, as an impartial observation, do people ever need to watch those episodes again?
No.
Right. Because obviously you need to watch them once. If you're working your way through the story, the whole Doctor Who arc, you do need to watch them once because they're part of the thing. But,
hang on.
Oh, controversial.
Oh, hello.
Morgan prefers the Rings of Akatan to Nightmare and Silver.
Did you not get the pre-podcast notes?
I'm, I'm just going to give those two episodes my immediate reaction.
We all wait for all. I believe that is the chosen protest over the NHS pay rise as well. I mean, it's just, we've talked before about the fact that not every episode can be amazing and there's ups and there's downs, etc. and so on. But it really, especially going back to them and watching them back to back, it really does feel like proper. This series at the moment is Liverpool's season. In that it started off okay and then went really shit. And you're kind of hoping there's some good bit of stuff at the end. Obviously, we know there is now, but at the time, my memory actually at the time is that Leafy thing, and that thing was all kind of quite cutesy-cutesy and all kind of, they know what they're doing. But you go back and watch it and it's just dull. And I think I would take a bad story with exciting bits in it over dull.
Just dull. Like I say, the second episode, No Rest of It, is not as bad because it at least has some conflict. It has some interesting ideas as well.
Yeah.
There is nothing interesting about the Leaf episode.
No.
Do you know the thing about the Leaf episode is that I think it would have almost worked better if it hadn't been right after Clara's honest to God opening episode. You know, if they had done like the Bells of St. John and then they'd done a couple of other kind of cool adventures and then they did the one that relied on the Leaf sort of thing, almost like the Doctor's been doing slight investigation in the background like he normally did.
Yeah.
It just felt like they just kind of, episode one, the Doctor finally meets Clara again for the first time. Episode two, he checks out some fucking Leaf. You know,
it did kind of feel like, look, he's found Clara again. Now, here's all the pervy stalky stuff.
Yeah, just mid-episode, that could have been a better, even if they swapped, if they did Bells of St. John, Cold War, Hayden, Rings of Akatan, I think it'd have sat better. Although it possibly wouldn't, because
in a way, you can think of Doctor Who series, especially modern Who, because it's the way they work it, as an album. So it's got an overall arc, it's got a flow, and it ebbs and flows as it goes. And you don't want your shit track as track two.
Yeah.
You've had to, you're contracted to record 12 songs. You've written 11 halfway decent ones and a couple of bangers, but there's one in there that's a bit, but you kind of like it for odd reasons. But you don't stick it on track two.
You don't see the first half of the album.
No, this is it. That
it
feels
like the second half of the album. Usually about track nine.
Yeah, that's a track nine, track ten episode, without a doubt. And to stick it track two is just, oh my God. It's just the running order's all wrong with this series.
Also, I mean, they could have actually done some cool stuff with the Leaf and the memory of the Leaf and blah, blah, blah. And it could have tied in better with the story. It felt like, A, they kind of shot their load too early with it. And B, they didn't do anything with it. You know, I'm not saying that the Leaf should have been some sort of like get out clause for the like season seven finale. That would have been a bit rubbish too, but a wee bit later on and slightly different. It didn't feel like there was never a point where I felt there was any sense of jeopardy.
No.
There is no sense of jeopardy. I mean, the planet, big scary planet. All I'm just looking at something right now thinking, this is all that planet reminds me of.
Yeah. This is it. And I know it's done fiery orange and scary face and all the rest of it, but it really is just treading water. And if you were treading water an episode before all the big stuff, you could have lived with it. But to stick it that early on is just, oh.
I'm just going to jump in here and tell the listeners that was a shocked emoji.
It does help, doesn't it?
Yeah. Good point. Yeah, I forget that the listener isn't seeing what we're seeing. I mean, I know they are because it's on the screen, but it's not on. What we see here isn't on that. It's all very confusing. And I'll be honest, after that episode, double episode, I kind of don't care. I think that's the other thing, is you want to at least care what happens in an episode of Doctor Who.
Yeah.
Because you care about the central character, because you've been watching it since 1963. You care about the companion. You have to. He's there, or she's there, or they're there. And yet, those are two episodes that, if you nodded off halfway through and woke up towards the end, you wouldn't worry that you'd missed anything.
Yeah.
Right.
And this is where we've talked about this before, and Laura mentioned it specifically when we're talking about WandaVision. See if there was anything in that episode that you missed that was important to a finale. They just show you on previously on Doctor Who, you know, and you would just kind of go, oh, that was a bit where the Cyberman kind of does a wee jink, and you go, oh, that's quite important.
Yeah.
Hang on, I'm just very, very quickly starting off the first scenes of the Name of the Doctor, because this doesn't start with the previously on. Oh. So that means that there is nothing of importance in the first half of this season,
that then dies.
For the finale, because it doesn't start with the previous yarn. You could just skip over all of that. You'd be like, oh, there's a Clara.
I would suggest that that's not necessarily quite true. I think they should have possibly shown you some scenes. But again, if they had, they're giving stuff away. But in terms of nothing being important, so I don't think it highlights nothing's important.
Well, okay, so Bells of St. John has a very, very brief Richard E. Grant appearance.
Yep.
Yeah,
so that could come in.
Yeah, but you don't.
As does the Snowman. But then it goes back to what you said. If they had put it in, it would have been a total giveaway.
Yeah, well, it should have been a giveaway anyway, because anybody who had been paying attention, maybe they had just blanked out the whole of this series by this point. I don't know. But you have in your head that, okay, Richard E. Grant was there in episode 6. Surely, he's going to appear in the finale.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So you'd know, you wouldn't really need him.
But
I mean, it hasn't. The rest of the series hasn't beaten us to death that the Great Intelligence is going to necessarily be in the finale.
No, he hasn't kept popping up. I mean, if you think back to Bad Wolf, Bad Wolf was just mentioned near bloody constantly.
It was, but subtly at first.
Oh yeah, totally. But there have been at no point.
Message and then just like brought back probably in the finale.
Yeah,
you think about the Rose random appearances in season 4 or Missy all the way through season 8.
Yeah, this is it. It was drip fed very well, but here it's just kind of like they just thought, oh, we won't worry about that. We'll just stick it at the end.
Yeah,
kind of like playing Satisfaction in the encore. They haven't given a shit that you've sat there through 2 hours of new material and deep cuts that no one knows. They know you're just waiting for the big hit at the end.
See, you keep using that analogy. I think I preferred your Liverpool one.
but we don't know.
I'm just trying to think which it'd be like the five-ish managers. And
we don't know at the moment.
Evans, Rafa Benitez and Roy Hodgson as they try and...
No, that never happened. He never existed. There was a period of 6 months we did not have a manager. Check the history books. There's a lot of Sharpie pen, but he did not exist.
I suppose that brings us on to, when you mentioned the five-ish managers, that brings us on to what are we doing next?
Ah, good point.
We're doing the name of the manager, we're doing the, five, the five-ish managers.
So it's the next doubleheader is the five-ish managers and the name of the manager.
Yeah.
And then after that, it's night, day, time, and what's it of the manager, isn't it? Right.
Are we not doing name on its own? I can't remember.
No.
Because name's only 45 minutes. Okay.
I thought we were doing name and then five-ish, and then we were doing night and then day, and then we were doing time. I don't know. I'm losing
time. Yeah, no, that's right. So we are doing a double on the next one. So yeah. It is name and five-ish, so we need five-ish on the next one.
Yeah.
Awesome.
So
it's... Oh,
well, hang on. According to this list, assuming this is in the right order, welcome, dear listener, to our admin section of the show. So we've got, according to the list, we have Name of the Doctor, Night of the Doctor, Day of the Doctor, Five-ish Doctors, and then Time of the Doctor. That's the order we've got them written in. So I'm assuming that's...
I think Name and Five-ish should be done together.
So moving Five-ish up to Name. So Name first, then Five-ish?
And then do Night straight into... Because it works better because of the references to Night of the Doctor in the Five-ish Doctors. I think it works better that way around.
Yeah, right. Okay, that makes sense. So we do Night and Five-ish next, and then Night and Day of the Doctor is the next.
Name and Five-ish next, then Night and Day.
Hang on. So I've now got Name the Doctor and Five-ish, followed by Night, then Day, followed by Time. So you're now. So
I think what Laura and I are suggesting is that the next podcast episode is name of the doctor, and then we do the five-ish doctors. And then the podcast after that, we're doing Night of the Doctor, and then Day of the Doctor. And then the podcast after that, we're doing Time of the Doctor.
That's my understanding. So we're doing Name and Five-ish, followed by Night and Day, followed by Time.
Yep.
Are we all agreed on that?
Yep.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, no. You're allowed a dissenting opinion. Morgan likes...
I thought, Laura, sorry, was that not your take on it? I thought that we were...
You ultimately are in charge of the list. We're just throwing names around at this point. So do you want to ping me a message of the order we're doing the next three podcasts?
So the next podcast
will
be Name of the Doctor
and
the Five-ish Doctors.
Yes, that's right. What I said.
That's what I thought. Yep, good.
Podcast number two will be Night of the Doctor.
Yep.
And then Day of the Doctor.
Yep.
Yep.
And then we will finish off Matt Smith in one Christmassy episode.
The Time of the Doctor.
Time of the Doctor. That's how we'll do it.
In that case...
Now, the big question is when...
Well, that's for a whole separate conversation after I've stopped recording. In the meantime, dear listener, that has been 2 hours of our life we'll never get back, but it's been a hell of a lot of fun talking about everything else apart from the episodes on screen. We have given you the schedule for what's coming up for the next three podcasts, which is something we've never done before, which would suggest we're finally learning how to plan, but more likely you just got involved in a conversation you didn't need to be listening to. In the meantime, with pig oil, Xanax and veganism at the fore, this has been the Unsalted Popcorn Podcast Director's Commentary 50th episode special. Over that side has been the manager of all this madness, which is Laura.
How did I manage to spell Xanax so badly? It's an X and another A.
What a bizarre goodbye that was.
Yes. Or equally, I didn't even know you'd misspelt it and I knew what word you meant. Over on the other side has been John and the dissenting opinions of Morgan.
Bye.
And we will see you again very soon when we finally decided what the hell we're doing. We'll let you know when. In the meantime, that's been us, that's been you, that's been them. Goodbye.